Imagine pouring your deepest, darkest, most tangled thoughts into a digital journal. You know, like you lay out your anxieties and your relationship struggles and just your absolute exhaustion with the world.
Right, yeah. We have all been there.
Yeah. And instead of spitting out like a cheerfully optimized 5-step plan to fix your life, the artificial intelligence on the other end just stares back and says absolutely nothing.
Well, nothing. Or maybe just a gentle question.
Exactly, yeah. It just asks a gentle question about what you wrote. So today we are looking at an app that operates on this radically counterintuitive premise. The belief that the smartest thing technology can do for your mental health is essentially to just shut up and listen.
I mean, it is a massive departure from the current software landscape.
Yeah.
We have become so conditioned to this like engineering mindset.
Totally. Like everything is a problem to be solved.
Right. You identify a broken part, you
Right.
apply a software patch, you track the improvement metric. But human psychology, it just does not work like a buggy operating system.
It really doesn't, which is why we are so glad to have you, the learner, here with us today for this deep dive, because we are tackling a very specific dual-layered mission based on our source materials today.
We really are.
We are answering the question, was ist Sundermind and was beat Sundermind? Like, what exactly is Sundermind and what does it actually offer?
And to answer that, we are pulling from a pretty robust collection of documents dated July 2026. We have got the developer's official technical specifications, an extensive internal FAQ, and some highly detailed analytical product breakdowns.
Okay, let's unpack this because in a market that is just completely saturated with AI chatbots, desperate to play the role of your therapist and mood trackers that guilt trick you if you forget to log a Tuesday Sundermind, is planting a flag in a completely different territory.
A completely different
It
territory.
is a bilingual app, so it's built for both German and English speakers, and it's designed purely for structured self-reflection. And the developer docs establish this incredibly strict boundary right on page one.
Right, the medical disclaimer.
Yeah, it says this is absolutely not a medical product and it does not under any circumstances replace psychotherapy.
And that boundary isn't just, a legal disclaimer to protect them from lawsuits. It is literally the philosophical foundation of the entire platform.
How so?
Well, to understand what this app offers, we have to look at its core identity. Starting with its namesake, the name Sundermind is actually a linguistic hybrid.
Oh, I love a good origin story.
It takes the Sanskrit word sundara, which translates to beautiful or harmonious, and fuses it with the Japanese word sunda, meaning to become clear.
Okay, so the goal isn't necessarily fixing or curing yourself. It is about clarity.
That is the core of it, yeah. The philosophy embedded in that etymology is that your consciousness doesn't have to be flawless or happy or perfectly optimized in order to be clear. You can have clarity about your own messiness.
I really like that. You can just be messy but clear about it. And that ethos is embodied in the app's AI companion, which is just called Sunda. But looking through these developer documents, Sunda is defined entirely by its limitations.
It really is defined by what it refuses to do.
Yeah, it refuses to interpret your problems. It will never offer a diagnosis. And it will not dispense life hacks or advice. It functions purely to mirror your statements and ask probing questions.
Think of it less like a doctor and more like a mirror in a dance studio.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Right, because a physical mirror doesn't critique your routine or tell you how to move your feet. It just quietly reflects your posture back to you so you can make your own corrections.
So the AI is just passively showing you your own thoughts.
Exactly. The AI has a very quiet presence. It retains the context of the immediate conversation to guide its questions, but it completely refuses to build some sprawling, permanent psychological profile of you behind the scenes.
Wait, I have to stop you there. If the AI is totally neutered, how do they actually stop it from hallucinating therapy advice? I mean, we have all seen how language models behave, right?
Oh, yeah, they love to talk.
If you prompt them the right way, they love to start playing doctor. How do you technically restrain an AI that so desperately wants to be helpful?
What's fascinating here is how the app deliberately bottlenecks its own technology to protect the user's psychological safety. This isn't just a polite system prompt or a suggestion to the language model. It is a hard-coded technical guardrail.
So it's baked into the actual architecture.
Yes. The developer documents reveal that everywhere the app uses an AI to generate text, that text must pass through a single centralized checkpoint in the code.
It's like a toll booth that every single sentence has to drive through.
That is exactly it. And at that toll booth sits a bilingual forbidden word list. This is a master filter that actively scans the AI's intended output.
And if it catches something.
If the AI attempts to use phrasing that implies a clinical diagnosis, a medical claim, or professional advice, the output is immediately blocked or rewritten.
Oh.
And the developers don't just set this up and walk away. They run automated testing suites with every single software update to relentlessly bombard the AI, just ensuring this boundary cannot be breached.
That is a staggering level of commitment to staying in their lane. But that actually raises a major concern for me.
What is that?
If the AI is just a passive mirror, what happens if I log in and type that I am having a severe panic attack? Or like worse, does it just sit there and ask me how the panic attack makes me feel?
That's a great question. And the developers anticipated that exact danger. While the AI is restricted from giving advice, the app itself operates like a silent seismograph. It is constantly scanning the user's input for crisis language.
Okay, so it is paying attention to the severity of the words.
Yes. If it detects that a user is in acute severe distress, it immediately drops the conversational mirror act.
It intervenes.
It steps back from being a reflection tool and instantly becomes an emergency signpost. And it does this without jumping or even interrupting the user's writing flow. It just surfaces immediate actionable help.
Like hotlines and stuff.
Exactly. For users in the EU, it provides the 112 emergency number. And in Germany, it services the telephone seal source hotline, which is area 800-111-0111. The mechanism shifts instantly from self-reflection to user safety.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better about the safety aspect. But it also means that if the AI refuses to diagnose you and refuses to tell you what to do, then the burden of figuring out what is wrong falls entirely on you, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
You have to gather your own data. But the sources point out a massive flaw in how most of us track our own lives. It's summarized by this brilliant line from the documentation. It says, a bad Tuesday feels like a bad week.
Well, that is such a true statement.
Yeah.
Human memory is incredibly susceptible to the negativity bias. If you have a terrible, stressful meeting on Tuesday afternoon, that emotion is so potent that it bleeds into your perception of Monday and Wednesday.
It really does. And when you open a standard habit tracker or a mood app, it usually just asks, you know, how was your day?
Yeah.
You click the sad red face and all the nuance is instantly erased. You just logged a bad day.
Right. But why was it bad?
Exactly. Were you lonely? Were you physically exhausted? Did you lack purpose?
The simple sad face doesn't care. To solve that loss of context, Sundamind actually dismantles the concept of a good or bad day entirely. Instead, it breaks your daily well-being down into 8 distinct dimensions.
Okay, what are the 8?
They are mood sleep, energy closeness, body focus, calm, and meaning.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It is literally like looking at an audio equalizer for your brain rather than just a master volume knob.
I love that analogy.
Because you might end your day feeling like everything is terrible, right? Your master volume is just blasting pure distortion. But when you do the quick daily check-in and rate those 8 dimensions on a short scale from heavy to great, the visual radar chart tells a completely different story.
Right. You look at the chart and you realize your closeness with your partner was actually great today. Your sense of meaning was solid.
Yeah.
Your body feels fine. It's solely your sleep that is at an absolute zero.
And that one sliding metric is dragging your perception of the entire day down with it.
It isolates the distortion. And this is where the AI comes back into the picture, actually. Not as a therapist handing down a verdict, but as a pattern recognition engine, crunching those 8 dimensions over time.
Because over weeks and months, the human brain just cannot track the subtle interplay of 8 different variables.
Now, we are terrible at that, but an AI can. It analyzes your historical data and might gently highlight a delayed reaction you are just too close to see. It might say, hey, it appears that whenever your sleep and closeness drop simultaneously, your focus tends to drop 3 days later.
Oh, wow. So it finds the invisible domino effect in your life. But wait, we have to be careful here. Just because 2 things happen in sequence doesn't mean one caused the other.
You're hitting on a vital limitation that the app's documentation stresses very heavily. The AI makes it explicitly clear to the user that correlation is not causation.
Right, standard statistics rule.
Exactly. Just because your energy drops on days you report conflict in your closeness dimension, it doesn't mean the argument drained your energy. It could be that poor sleep is causing both the argument and the fatigue.
So the AI's pattern recognition is presented purely as a hypothesis?
Yes, it's an invitation to explore a connection, not an absolute truth.
Okay, so let's map this out for the learner. You have this highly detailed 8-dimensional equalizer of your mental state. You have these hypotheses generated by the AI. What do you actually do with all this? Like, how do you make it actionable?
Well, the sources describe the app's core loop through a 3-part guiding motto. It was originally written in German. Ruhe finden musste sein klein verändern.
Okay, let's translate and break those down, starting with step one, which is find peace or Rufinden.
Right. The developers built this initial step into the architecture because of a fundamental biological reality. You just cannot reflect effectively when your nervous system is in a state of fight or flight.
Yeah, if you are vibrating with acute stress, opening a journal to dissect your problems will often just accelerate your anxiety.
So the app provides a physiological off-ramp before you even touch the keyboard. It offers a suite of grounding exercises designed to bring your nervous system back to baseline. And importantly, they avoid lengthy, impractical meditations.
Right. No one has an hour to sit cross-legged when they are having a meltdown.
Exactly. Yeah. These are designed to fit into a chaotic day. There is a simple 3-minute breathing pause. There is progressive muscle relaxation, or PMR, where you systematically tense and release muscle groups to physically discharge stress.
The documentation also mentions trauma-sensitive stabilization techniques like the inner safe place visualization and something called solfeggio frequencies. What is the mechanism behind those?
So the inner safe place is a pretty well-established cognitive technique. It anchors the mind away from intrusive thoughts by building a highly detailed, secure mental landscape.
Okay, and the frequencies.
As for the solfeggio frequencies, the app includes audio tracks playing specific sound waves, usually between 396 and 852 hertz. In complementary sound therapy, these specific frequencies are believed to help entrain the brain's electrical activity toward a calmer state.
Okay, so you physically calm the nervous system first, then you can move to step two, which is see patterns or muster sane.
Which leverages the eight dimensions we just talked about.
Right. But it goes beyond the daily check-in. The app allows for macro-level comparisons. You can look at your data and objectively compare how your baseline in June stacked up against July, stripping away the recency bias of whatever mood you happen to be in today.
And that data visualization leads directly to the final and, frankly, most actionable step. Change small things. Kleinverändern.
This is the part I'm most curious about.
This is where the app introduces the concept of behavioral experiments.
Now, I have to admit, I am deeply skeptical of this. Usually, when an app tells me to change my behavior, it devolves into a push notification nagging me to drink water at 3 p.m., which honestly just makes me feel like I'm failing a digital class.
Oh, yeah, the guilt trip notifications are the worst.
How does a behavioral experiment actually work in this context without feeling like homework?
It avoids the homework trap by totally changing the objective. These experiments are deeply rooted in cognitive behavioral therapy and acceptance and commitment therapy.
Okay.
The mechanism here isn't about setting a massive, intimidating goal like, I will never get angry again. It is about adopting the mindset of a scientist studying your own life. You are simply testing an assumption.
Walk me through a concrete example. Let's say I get a text that makes my blood boil. The old habit is rapid-fire typing a defensive response. What does the experiment look like here?
The experiment is incredibly small. The app might suggest something like, for the next 3 days, whenever I receive a provoking text, I will set a timer and pause for exactly 5 minutes before replying.
Just 5 minutes?
Yeah. Or if your data shows terrible focus due to procrastination, the experiment might be, I will start this unpleasant tax document, but only for 5 minutes, and then I have full permission to stop.
So you lower the barrier to entry to almost zero.
Exactly. And then comes the crucial part, the feedback loop. After you try the experiment, there is no grading system. There is no pass or fail. The app just asks you to reflect on two things. What did I expect to happen? And what actually happened?
Oh, I see. So you might say, I expected that delaying my text message would make me feel like I was losing the argument. But what actually happened is I realized the text wasn't an attack. It was just poorly phrased, and I saved myself a 3-hour fight.
Exactly. That realization alone is worth 100 journal entries. You become an observer of your own reactions rather than a judge condemning your own behavior. That shift in perspective is the true value of the app.
But doing this work, it requires recording deeply intimate details. I mean, you are logging your relationship conflicts, your sleep failures, your moments of lowest energy.
It is highly sensitive data.
Which means we absolutely have to look at the architecture of safe reflection. Like, who is building this tool and how are they protecting the learner's most sensitive data?
Well, this brings us to one of the most surprising revelations in the source material. SundaMind is not the product of a massive Silicon Valley tech conglomerate backed by venture capital.
It's not a tech bro startup.
Not at all. It was built by an indie developer named Dirk Werner. And crucially, Werner is actually a licensed psychological psychotherapist with a private practice located in Füssenhopfen im Allgäu, Germany.
Wait, an indie app built by an actual licensed therapist? That completely explains the lack of aggressive growth hacking. There are no pop-ups begging you to invite five friends to unlock a new font.
The clinical background really informs everything, especially the ethics. The sources highlight a very deliberate technical firewall that Werner has erected between his physical therapy practice and this digital app.
So they don't cross over at all?
No, the data systems are completely isolated from one another. His practice website does not funnel people to the app. The documentation explicitly states that users of Sundamind are not and cannot be considered his patients.
That ethical clarity is really impressive. And it seems to extend to how the app is engineered for the user, too. The accessibility standards outlined in the developer docs are genuinely top tier. It isn't just an afterthought.
No, they engineered it specifically to meet the WCAG 2.1 AA standard.
What does that mean in practical terms?
It means a user who cannot use a mouse or a touchscreen can navigate the entire application using only a keyboard. They have also deeply integrated ARA labels.
Let's explain that mechanism because it's vital. An ARA label is essentially invisible text embedded in the code specifically for screen reading software used by visually impaired users.
Exactly. It bridges the visual gap. The documentation gives a perfect example of this. The emergency help button doesn't just look like a phone icon. The code contains an ARIA label that reads aloud, "Open emergency help dash crisis phone numbers."
That is so smart.
Yeah, so a visually impaired user utilizing software like NVDA on Windows or VoiceOver on Apple devices or TalkBack on Android knows precisely what that button will trigger before they even activate it. You can also instantly scale the font size across the entire interface. It is built to be usable by anyone, regardless of physical limitation.
And that indie user-first ethos also shows up in how they ask you to pay for it. The core pillars of the app, like the daily check-in, the grounding exercises, the fundamental journaling space, those are entirely free.
But there is a premium tier called the Founder tier, which unlocks the deeper historical AI analysis, the long-term data comparisons, and full archives.
Right. But the rollout of this tier is highly unusual based on what we're reading.
Very unusual. As of our source date in July 2026, it is available for a one-time fee of 24 euros, but it is strictly capped at 50 available spots. After those are filled in the fourth quarter of 2026, it will transition to a standard 39 euro annual model.
I want to highlight an incredibly refreshing piece of philosophy from the text regarding that early one-time fee. They purposely refuse to market it using the phrase lifetime pricing in English.
Which every other app does.
Right. But why do they refuse? Because the developer notes argue that a payment is an established fact, but a lifetime is a promise that software companies make and quietly break all the time.
It is a level of linguistic honesty that you almost never see in tech marketing.
Even their approach to gamification, the way the app rewards you for coming back, is gentle. You earn experience points and you watch a digital tree grow as you log entries.
But there is no strength system.
Thank goodness.
If you miss a day, your tree doesn't wither, and you don't lose a 50-day streak that makes you feel so guilty you just delete the app entirely. A missed day is just a day you didn't need to journal.
I love that. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the analytical sources do raise some necessary cautions.
What's fascinating here is that while the ethical framework is strong and the data is GDPR compliant and stored securely on European Union servers, there is always a however.
In the world of sensitive data, there is always a however.
For journaling of this magnitude, absolute transparency is non-negotiable. The analytical documents point out that independent third-party security audits of the app are still pending.
Oh, okay.
Furthermore, we don't have complete public clarity on exactly which AI service providers are processing the text on the back end or the exact retention policies for data backups. Finally, because the app is relatively new, there are no peer-reviewed clinical efficacy studies proving its long-term impact on mental well-being.
So it is a brilliantly designed tool, but it requires the user to place a degree of trust in the developer's current privacy setup while we wait for those external audits to verify everything happening under the hood.
Exactly. It is an instrument for self-exploration. It's not a clinically proven medical intervention, and the data privacy, while legally sound and compliant, needs that final layer of independent verification to be bulletproof.
Okay, let's pull all of this together and synthesize what we've discovered. Sundamind is not a digital doctor. It is not a toxic positivity coach demanding that you smile more and optimize your morning routine.
No, definitely not.
It is a highly structured, carefully bounded environment. It is a place for you to hit pause, bring your nervous system back to baseline, map out the 8 nuanced dimensions of your life, and run tiny, low-stakes behavioral experiments to discover what actually works for your unique psychology.
It provides the laboratory, but you are the scientist.
Okay, let's unpack this. So what does this all mean for you? It means that if you choose to use it, you have a safe, quiet digital workspace to figure yourself out. You can explore your own muddy waters at your own pace without an algorithm breathing down your neck trying to mold you into its idea of a productive human being.
This raises an important question regarding the future of mental health technology. Are we building software to save us and tell us what to do? Or are we building software to help us see ourselves more clearly?
That is the perfect thought to end on, but I want to leave you, the learner, with one final idea to ponder as you go about your day. We started this deep dive by talking about the overwhelming expectation that our apps are supposed to fix us. That if we just download the right tool, it will solve our problems like a mechanic fixing an engine.
Right.
But in an era where every single piece of software on your phone is desperately trying to give you the answers, make your decisions, and tell you exactly what to do next. Wait, I almost used the E word. In an era where every app wants to run your life, is a tool that intentionally refuses to give you the answer, actually the most intelligent technology of all.
Something to really think about.
Think about it. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us.